Jewish audio on Chabad.org.
So, we're continuing to learn about the mitzvah of Milah, Brit Milah. And as you will remember, yesterday in our studies, we were involved in the 34th shir of Sefer HaMitzvahs. Today we're moving on to the 35th shir. And we were talking about mitzvah Resh Tezvav, the 215th mitzvah in the Rambam's system of mitzvah counting. Now, we highlighted a distinction yesterday between the verbiage that the Rambam uses in Sefer HaMitzvot and the verbiage that the Rambam uses in the book of Mishneh Torah. And it's actually not just verbiage. In the book of Mitzvot, the Rambam says we have a mitzvah of circumcision because God says to Avraham Avinu, Himolachem kol zachar, that you should circumcise for yourself all males. And then in the book of Mishneh Torah, the Rambam begins by enumerating, he says the next three chapters have one mitzvah, and today's Rambam, of course, corresponds to the last three chapters in Seder HaTfilah, which we'll talk about shortly. The Rambam says that the mitzvah is Lamulas HaZcharim, and how do we know this? Because it says in the Torah, Bayom Hashmini Yimo Besar Lato, which is a different parsha. It's a different reference, a totally different source for the mitzvah of Brit Milah. And the question is, why does the Rambam seem, on the surface, to contradict himself as he moves from one arena to the other? To be sure, the question, as we pointed out yesterday, is even greater. It's not just a dichotomy in the Rambam itself, that the Rambam here chooses one verse to demonstrate the biblical source and root for this mitzvah, and in Mishneh Torah, he draws on another source, but the Rambam himself, as we mentioned yesterday, in book of Pirush HaMishnayot, which is the first book he wrote, he says that you're not allowed to say we do mitzvot because Avraham Avinu did the mitzvah, or because Yitzchak Avinu or Yaakov Avinu received the commandment, but rather all the mitzvot we do is because Moshe Rabbeinu brought us the mitzvot from God at Mount Sinai. And the Rambam says very carefully, he says, you should know we do not circumcise our children because Avraham Avinu circumcised himself, rather mipnei shar kodesh baruch hu tziva otanu, because God commanded us by the hand of Moshe Rabbeinu shenimol, that we should circumcise kemo shenimol Avraham. So the Rambam himself makes a very clear distinction between what Avraham Avinu did and what we do. The origin, the source in the Bible, in the Chumash, in the Torah, for our performance of this mitzvah. The Rebbe once pointed out that the question is even deeper. In Pirush HaMishnayot itself, where the Rambam says we do not circumcise our children because Avraham Avinu circumcised his son, or because Avraham Avinu circumcised himself, but rather because Moshe Rabbeinu brought us a command at Matan Torah, the Rambam himself says, Tziva Otanu, we were commanded, Al Yedei Moshe Rabbeinu, Shenamol, that we should circumcise, Kimo Shemol Avraham Avinu, just like Avraham Avinu circumcised. The Rambam just finished saying that we do not do it because Avraham Avinu did it. We do not do this mitzvah because our father Abraham received the commandment, but rather because God gave the Jewish people a commandment at Mount Sinai through Moshe Rabbeinu. And the Rambam says we should do it because God told Moshe Rabbeinu to do it like Avraham Avinu was circumcised. So not only does the Rambam seem to draw on two separate sources in Mishneh Torah and in Sefer HaMitzvot, it seems from the Pirush HaMishnayot that the reference in Sefer HaMitzvot is incongruous, out of sorts. And furthermore, just to add to the question, within the words of the Rambam, in Pirush HaMishnayot himself, he seems to say something which is oxymoronic. On one hand, the emphasis on Moshe Rabbeinu at Mount Sinai. On the other hand, the emphasis on us having received the mitzvah from Avraham Avinu, having received this mitzvah. So the explanation, or one explanation, that the Lubavitcher Rebbe gave is as follows. There is a distinction, and I'll use the words in Hebrew first, between chiyuv hamitzvah and mahut hamitzvah. Chiyuv means obligation. There is a mandatory, binding commandment. We must do so. Why must you do so? Well, because it says in the Torah such and such. And then there's mahut hamitzvah, which means mahut is a derivative of the words mahu. What is it? What is the essence? What is the organic essence of this mitzvah? If I want to really understand what its basic building blocks are, what is this mitzvah made of? What is its definition? You want to know what water is? Water is H2O. That's what water is. What does it do? What? It makes you wet. It could clean. It could hurt. It could nourish. It can do lots of things. What is it? What is its chemical composite? It's H2O. What is this mitzvah? Or why do I have to do the mitzvah? They are not one and the same. Therefore, the Rebbe explains, when it comes to chiyuv ha-mitzvah, the obligation of what the Rambam calls the 215th mitzvah, why do we have to do so? What binds us? What makes this mitzvah mandatory? Shenitan lanu ayidei Moshe. Because that's a mitzvah that God gave us with all the other mitzvot that are binding from Moshe Rabbeinu. V'lo mipnei hatzivu l'Avram. In the Rambam's words, we do not perform this mitzvah because that is what God told Avram Avinu to do. We do this mitzvah because that's what God told us, the Jewish people, by the hand of Moshe at Mount Sinai. However, now we move on to Mahut HaMitzvah. What is this mitzvah? What is this mitzvah? This mitzvah is the same mitzvah that God gave to Avram Avinu. If you want to understand the mitzvah, you need to understand what Avram Avinu did. You need to understand how and why God told Avram Avinu to do this mitzvah. And then you'll know the Mahut. Then you'll know what this mitzvah is all about. And that's why the Rambam says in the Pirush HaMishnayot, what seems to be contradictory but really isn't, once you have the proper perspective. He says, we have to do it because HaKadosh Baruch Hu tziva otano aidei Moshe Rabbeinu. That's why we have to. That's why it's mandatory. And what should we do? What is it? Shenimol k'mosh hamol Avram Avinu, that we should circumcise as Avram Avinu circumcised. The Rebbe said that with this explanation, now we have a beautiful way to understand the seeming contradiction within the Rambam's writings between Mishneh Torah and the Sefer HaMitzvot. And by the way, this will also give us a new appreciation into the Book of Mitzvot and how the Book of Mitzvot differs from the Book of Mishneh Torah and why it is valuable and important to study the Book of Mitzvot even if you study Mishneh Torah. The Book of Mishneh Torah is first and foremost, and really almost entirely, what's called Sefer Halacha. It's a book of laws. It's a book of rules. The Rambam himself calls his book, in his Hakdama, it's a book of Halachot, Halachot. Halachot are comprised of two things. Case, ruling. Case, ruling. So the Rambam will say, such and such, a case, a scenario. The ruling is as follows. That's a book of rules. And that's how Mishneh Torah is structured. And we know that every word in Mishneh Torah actually is a halacha, as in our studies we'll continue to focus on this concept. So when the Rambam is telling us halachot, halachot are rules, laws, legislation, he has to tell us why is this mandatory? Who legislated? Who required? Who necessitated that we do this? Who? Very simple, because it says in the Torah, Bayom HaShmini Yimol Besar or Lato. However, the Sefer HaMitzvot, which we are learning together, is not a book of halachot. Rather, it is a biur, an explanation of the Taryag Mitzvot. The Rambam doesn't just simply list the mitzvot. The Rambam lists the mitzvot in the beginning of his chibur, in the beginning of his codes, Mishneh Torah. He lists them, one-liners, one-liner, 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 all 613 mitzvot. None of them is longer. Now, one line is longer than 3 to 6 words. In Sefer HaMitzvot, the Rambam explains the mitzvah. He defines the mitzvah. He gives you the essential comprehension of what this mitzvah comprises. And as such, the Rambam has to explain what this mitzvah is. What is this mitzvah? This mitzvah is the brit that God gave to Avraham Avinu. So now we have answered the question we raised yesterday. We have a better understanding of the function of the book of mitzvot. And we can make a siyum. We can now finish off studying the final words of the book of Mishneh Torah in Hilchot Milah. The Rambam says that you should know that the Torah only had 3 covenants that are talked about regarding the fulfillment of all of its rules. However, with regard to Brit Milah, the Torah says not three covenants, but 13 covenants. And therefore, the Rambam says you have to know that this mitzvah is an extremely serious and important matter. As we mentioned yesterday, Moshe Rabbeinu almost lost his life on account not of not doing the mitzvah, of delaying the mitzvah for a short while. Moshe Rabbeinu was almost undone by it. So we see this is an extremely, extremely important concept, an important mitzvah to follow. And the origin of the Rambam's emphasis on how important this mitzvah is perhaps can best be understood in accordance with the words that are found in the Yerushalmi, and I'll share them with you. It is written in Masechet Nedarim, Kol mitzvah, Shemasru Yisrael Atzmam Aleha Lemisa, any mitzvah which the Jewish people historically were ready to die for during the time when there was decrees, difficult circumstances where Judaism was outlawed. And the Gemara says, Kigon, Avodah Zarah, and Mila. Adayin hi muchzeket bi adam. That Torah, they still hold on to. Those mitzvot, they still hold fast. V'chol mitzvah, shalom masri yisrael atzmam aleha. All of the mitzvot that the Jewish people did not risk their lives for in the time of Gezeirat HaMalchut, for example, Kigon Tefillin, hi mirupa bi adam. Is very, very weak in their hands. Later on it says, Kol mitzvah shekiblu aleihem b'simcha, any mitzvah that the Jewish people joyously received, kegon milah, like the mitzvah of Brit Milah, adayim osim ota b'simcha, which Rashi explains, sho'osim mishteh, that they make a feast. It's a funny thing. The poor baby is cut, and he's bleeding, and he's crying, and everybody's smiling. And everybody's happy. What are you so happy about? What are you happy? I did a mitzvah. There are mitzvot that are much less painful, that doesn't make people upset, doesn't discombobulate them, that I get all nervous and they can't sleep all night, and they don't do it with joy. They don't do it with happiness. And this is something that's so special and so unique about the mitzvah of Brit Milah that Rebbe once pointed out. Actually, this is one of the early notes that were only found posthumously. The Rebbe pointed out, as I mentioned yesterday, this is, in the Rambam system, mitzvah 215. But if you follow along the Torah, as the book of mitzvah education, the Sefer HaChinuch does, it's the second mitzvah. And actually, it is the first mitzvah that a Jew got. Because the first mitzvah in the Torah is peru revu, be fruitful and multiply, live a family life, and that's a mitzvah really that every human being is supposed to engage in. God wants all human beings to have families, to have children. But the first mitzvah that the Jewish people got, Avraham Avinu, was the mitzvah of Milah. So why of all mitzvot is this the mitzvah that the Jewish people got first? And how does this mitzvah underscore the importance of everything that we do as Jewish people? So the Rebbe said there are a number of different ideas that we see from the mitzvah of Milah, four in total. Number one, as the Rambam writes in Mor Nevuchim, as the Sefer HaChinuch writes in different ways, the mitzvah of Brit Milah is Briti Bibisarchem. It becomes a part of you. Comes one with you. The truth is, all of Yiddishkeit has to become a part of us. When you're a Jew who lives a spiritual life, you lives a committed life, it should be obvious. You should look Jewish. It should resonate. It should reflect on your very being. Even if sometimes it cannot be seen in the most physical or tangible way, the mitzvot we do have to change us. A second interesting thing, our sages say that having a Brit Milah actually has health benefits. It's good for you. And there have been numerous studies over the years to prove this. Of course, our world, which is today embracing atheism in growing numbers, unfortunately, wants to deny this. They only like statistics that follow what they want to describe, what they want to present. Any statistic that goes against what they want, they disqualify. It's not really scientific. But there are scientific, and a number of scientific studies in the last two decades, which prove that in parts of the world where males are circumcised, there is a decrease in venereal disease, there's a decrease in certain cancers, and various other issues are taken away when you have Brit Milah. That's not why we do a mitzvah, but a Jew has to know that if you live your life as Hashem wants you to, it will be good for you. It will be good for you. And you will have many fringe benefits that come along together with it. A third detail is, we see that a mitzvah is connected with pain for the child. Tzar de yanuka. And what does the pain come from? The pain, a baby's crying. He doesn't understand why, what are you doing this to me for? All he knows, he had a nice life. For 9 months, he was rolled up like a ball. Life was great. And then he came out, and it was very cold, and somebody hit him on the behind, and he didn't like that very much. Then they wrapped him up in warm blankets, and he's bonding with his mother. Life is great. And then 8 days later, they unwrapped his blankets. They gave a bris milah, and the poor baby's crying. He doesn't know what's going on over here. But the truth is, so it's a very good thing for a baby. The best thing for a baby. You want to have a brit milah when you're 32? So, machaya, you got it over with? 1, 2, 3? They tell a story. There was this boy in the schoolyard looking very upset. And his friend came over. He said, what's the problem? He says, you know, I'm from Russia. I never had a brit. And tomorrow I'm having a brit. Does it hurt? Will I be able to function? And the other boy said, look, I don't know. I had it when I was 8 days old, but I heard I couldn't walk for a whole year afterwards. It's the best time to have a brit milah. If any of us today would have to do a check, when do you want it? 13 or 32 or 8 days? We would all say, 8 days, get it over with. The baby at the time doesn't understand it. But in the long run, he's very happy that he had a brit milah when he was 8 days old. The Rebbe says, so it is with every mitzvah. Sometimes we don't understand it. Sometimes we feel frustrated. Sometimes we feel pain. We don't appreciate it. In the long run, it's a wonderful thing. And finally, the mitzvah of milah, as we mentioned, from the Gemara, and this is also brought down in the Code of Jewish Law. It's found in Masechet Shabbos, and it's found in various places in the writings of our sages. It's a mitzvah that's connected to sacrifice, to Mesirat Nefesh. It's a mitzvah that's connected to simcha, to joy, and so it must be with every mitzvah. As our sages tell us, that a Jew has to fulfill mitzvot mitoch simcha or mitoch Mesirat Nefesh, with a sense of joy, and a sense of absolute, utter devotion and commitment. And that's what we're going to learn tonight about the 215th mitzvah. And I will just now tell you that in the order of Limud HaRambam, as well as in the learning of Mishnah, the book of Mishnah Torah, as well as Sefer HaMitzvot, the 35th Shiur now concludes with Seder Tfilot Kol HaShana. You see, the Rambam wanted to write a book of halacha for everybody. They should know what to do. And because there were questions about exactly what we should or should not say in the prayer, so and since the Rambam communicated his desire that his text should serve as a practical application of Torah law rather than just philosophy or jurisprudence, the Rambam therefore took the time to include in his book of Mishnah Torah the order of the prayers, which is a fulfillment of a biblical mitzvah, as we learned a few weeks ago. And here, the order of the prayer can be found that when you read it, it's very interesting. You see the differences, how similar the Rambam's text was 8.5 centuries ago. The Sephardic prayer books are virtually exactly the same today as they were then. And we have slight variations, but the point, of course, is that the Rambam wanted to include the text of prayer as part of his book of mitzvot, because the text of prayer is a part of practical Judaism. And it's not just good enough to be a Jew at heart. It's not just good enough to pray as you feel. In today's day and age, if a Jew wants to live in accordance with the will of Hashem, if he wants to fulfill the mitzvot properly, then he has to use the Siddur, he has to use the prayer book to find himself in the words of our sages and to find himself able to express himself through the words of our sages. That will be the most efficacious way to commune and to connect with HaKadosh Baruch Hu. And for those of you who are listening or watching and saying, well, you know, I don't really like the Siddur. I want to do my own thing. I would say to you, how much time did you invest in your prayers? Invest doesn't mean at the time of davening. You have to invest before davening. If you study the Siddur, if you know the meaning of the prayers, if you work at your prayer, don't put any more work into prayer than you put into your business or into your career or into your physique or into your diet, or whatever else it is that's important to you. If you put that amount of effort into your prayer, then you will reap immeasurable benefits, as we see, as the Rebbe talked about, that a mitzvah ultimately is something that can be performed b'tzimcha, with a state of total devotion and commitment, and the benefits are many. And that concludes tonight's shiur in the Rambam.